If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, how are you? I'm Craig Doyle. Welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. What a brilliant race from Marc Marquez here in the Czech Republic. Tactically, he played an absolute blinder. Coming up, you can hear from all the protagonists from race day, Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson, Keith Ewan and Gavin Emmett. But first, here was how the race was won.
As we come to the last set of corners, Marc Marquez has worked strategically, brilliantly to win this race here. The Czech Grand Prix belongs to Marc Marquez and Honda. Pedrosa will come home. His teammate will come home in second place. Vinales have come from a really difficult weekend to take that podium place. Then Rossi and Crutchlow as quick as that.
What a weird, weird afternoon.
So, Colin Edwards, we barely draw a breath because that was an absolutely brilliant day. And Livio Supo has just joined us now. Livio, just joined us. Come on over this side of things. How are you? Well done.
No need in separating us. Come on over. Come on.
I don't want to share too much with you.
Basically, if you've just joined us, you missed an amazing MotoGP race where Marc Marquez, this fella's young charge, was outstanding in making a decision to switch bikes when he saw the track drying up and his teammate Danny Pedrosa coming in second place, which means you've had a very good day indeed, Livio.
Absolutely, very good day. And in this condition, Marc is unbelievable. We see something like this last year in Sachsenring. And today, again, he did a great job. I'm really pleased with Danny, because usually Danny in this condition is struggling more. And today, the first lap in was already very fast and, very happy with 1-2. We did a test here, which was good. And so it's good for everything, for the season and for...
Who made the decision for Marc to come in? Did you send him a little text or did he make his own mind up?
This kind of decision, of course, they must take because, as Colin knows very well, in that moment is the only one that really knows if they can try or not are the riders. And Marc knows that in this tricky condition is very strong, so he always usually do the correct choice.
And you guys, you practice that pit stop more than any other team, I'd say. He's a master of it, isn't he?
Yeah, also in that is good. Is maybe a couple of tenths. Even that it should be enough sometimes.
I heard a rumor from his mom, apparently, on Twitter, that before he came in, he went to the back of the group and comes in so nobody sees him come in the pit. Is that true or no? Did y'all talk about this?
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think he did deliberately, honestly.
Okay.
And anyway, when he came in, many riders stay out of many laps, so still probably condition was not so easy. It's easy to speak, but then...
Do you know something? Marc is never going to say his mother didn't do something, okay? So let's hear from Marc, and then we'll come back to you, okay? This is what Marc had to say after the win.
Yeah, he's just having a discussion, actually, with Danny Pedrosa about all the tactics, about everything that's gone on during that race. We could ask Marc a couple of those questions that have been flying around. One, people want to know if the soft, wet tyre that he'd gone with, if that was already destroyed or you made the decision. And even if you dropped back behind the front runner so they couldn't see you coming into the pits, were there things going on in your mind when you made that early decision?
Yeah, honestly, really happy for the final result, of course. But we did a... perfect strategy, but the tire, the rear tire, when I put the soft one, because I saw the track and I say maybe the soft one give me an extra push for 4 or 5 laps, but it was completely opposite. I was struggling a lot, it was too soft, I overheat immediately, and then for that reason I go back, and then I go in on the pits because I saw that was still very wet in some points, but I say okay, I try. I nearly crashed 3-4 times in the first 2-3 laps, but then I was able to be there to keep the rhythm, to take a good pace, and when I saw P1 plus 20 seconds more or less, Then I say, okay, now it's time to manage the race, time to take my rhythm, no stress the tires, just floating on the track, very happy.
It looked floating. It looked like you were in complete control as well, though, Mark. Mark, I just want to ask now, two wins in a row. We go to Austria. We know it might not be the easiest place. Do you feel on a roll?
Yeah, of course, Red Bull Ring last year was a difficult circuit, but also here was really difficult. So this year, of course, the test helps a lot. Was really good test on summer break, and we use that potential for the race weekend, of course, and very happy because this racetrack, normally I'm struggling a lot. I take these 25 points. We will see next week. Everything can happen. Can be rain, can be wet, can be flag to flag, dry. Anyway, we will try to give our 100% again, one more time. And the most important is that today was a really special day, especially for all MotoGP, but for Spanish riders, for Ángel Nieto. Full Spanish podium. Looks like when we were there on the grid for silence, for half this tribute to him, was really special because it was like raining a little bit, like crying the sky. And in the end, this Sunday race, I think, is for him.
Lovely stuff, Mark. Congratulations yet again. Well done.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah, there was a lovely scene before the race and they had a big banner saying Gracias Maestro for Daniel. And what a better way of celebrating the man to have an old Spanish podium. Mark feels he's on a roll. Do you feel he's on a roll?
Yeah, for sure he's in a good moment. The bike, since the beginning of the season, is better than last year, even if sometimes looks is not. But the result of Dani proved that the machine is getting better, and also Kalto, they did a good job. So the technician has done a good job. Of course, there's always to improve. Next week we have a very difficult circuit. Last year was a very difficult circuit for us, probably the worst. We will see if we are closer to the other, but it's important to be consistent and don't lose too much point in any race.
Are you guys testing here tomorrow?
Unfortunately, yes, because we we know already this place quite enough. But tomorrow we will test because, as I said, it's a never-ending story. You know, you always try to find any little things can help.
And some new parts, some new pieces to look for next weekend.
If I tell you, then I have to kill you. So.
You want to get yourself some hamster cheek, you know, fairings. That's all the rage now. I mean, will you look to what Ducati have done and maybe?
I'm not a technician for sure. It's totally different approach from what we have. If you look at the fairing of Dani, it's difficult to understand where is it, and the winglet, and the Ducati one is much easier to understand. But it's a different approach, and that's MotoGP. That's try to find something different from the others, and we will see.
We were talking before racing started this week. We know what Ducati were out there trying to help Jorge out more than anyone, I guess, you know, and get the old anti-wheelie thing on the go. And Yamaha, I guess it was chassis work they were doing. What were you looking for over that month break?
Usually our rider complained a lot about the acceleration of the bike. Then if it's a question of engine or how to put the power on track, honestly, it's not easy to understand. But I think from last year to this year, we did a step. Still not enough, but of course, they are still working.
Cal Crutchlow was saying last week he thinks Marc Marquez is going to win this championship. Do you think Marc Marquez is going to win this championship?
I'm happy that Cal thinks like that. Of course, we hope. But you never know. It's a long championship. As we said, so far this season, many things can happen. Everything can change a lot from one week to the other. So today we celebrate 1-2. Maybe in 1 week we will be struggling, who knows. But as I said before, the important is not to lose too many points every race and keep focus on the job.
Livio, thank you so much. You have a short turnaround, so don't celebrate too heavily tonight.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Good stuff. Let's work our way through the race. It was a wet race officially at the start, and we thought, yeah, that seems fair. It was very wet. And Lorenzo, well, he led the charge. He looked great, didn't he?
Yeah, looked, I don't know where that came from. I mean, he was good this morning in the wet, but right here just takes charge, you know, stuffs it up the inside here, and here in about half a lap, he's gone. And I was like, what is going on with this guy? And but, you know, he always goes good here. He likes his track. The winglets, I think, help keep the bike settled. Everything was working in that first part.
I wonder how much the winglets helped his head. How much of that is a little kind of confidence
push? Probably a ton.
Probably about 95%. Yeah, well, yeah. I would imagine quite a lot because we know what he's like.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if he can find something that makes the bike more stable, more comfortable, it's all about comfort. We talk about this all the time. It makes him more comfortable. He's happy with it.
Okay, Valentino Rossi, always looking comfortable indeed. Let's look at his early charge.
Yeah.
Second off the grid. Good start from.
Yeah, and here he comes up the inside of, who is that, Marquez in, I can't see, the screen's jacked up, but he comes up the inside, sticks it up in there, and I was thinking he's going to, you know, put a charge together, and he did. He eventually caught Lorenzo.
Don't tell people we have a screen. They think you remember every single detail
everything.
Of the race. We remember the stop, certainly, and the rain stopping and things drying up, and just how quickly Marc Marquez made that move into the pits. And you called it well in advance, to be fair. You said he's going to be first in. He's sharp.
You got to look at history. You know, his history, his MO is he's the first guy in. He's the guy that's going to take the most amount of risk. When you look at the race, he took the most amount of risk for a lap and a half, two laps. And then for the other 18 or so laps, he just cruised. Didn't have to do anything. Had a 20-second lead.
Yeah, and they just didn't react quick enough. Uh-uh. It was a bad management by them. Bad management in the pit lane. We weren't sure what happened with Alicia Spargaró. Andrea Iannone involved, and something happened in the pit lane. It's a bit clearer now. We think it was Alicia's fault.
Yeah, that was close. They almost T-boned him. But it looks like they sent him out. Here's another shot. Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't see that camera angle.
This is Jorge Lorenzo coming in for his stop, and it almost looked like they weren't ready for him. It was chaotic and very, very slow. He actually lost 8 places in this stop.
Very chaotic. I was wondering what happened to him because he was obviously doing good in the rain. Look, this is a disaster. I didn't even see this. Absolute disaster. And Valentino's normal self, you know, let me just hop off and hop on. And he doesn't do the old Marquez.
Just a bad call from an old head, though. He should have been in earlier, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to look at Marquez. When he goes in, at the very minimum, come in a lap later. You can't sit out there and let him gain 8-10 seconds a lap on you.
Fair play to Maverick Viñales. He was probably feeling the pressure of the top of the championship table getting really tight. He needed a big result, still fighting that bike. He did well today.
I'm telling you, this whole race, he is one of the standouts for me that had a really good race. Struggled all weekend. We've seen him real animated on the bike, in the pit, and he rode a really good race. Excellent.
Yeah, well done, Maverick Viñales. 14 points behind Marc Marquez, still in the thick of the mix in that battle in a wonderful championship year. Gav, just met up in Maverick a short time ago. This is what they had to say to each other.
Maverick, congratulations on that podium today. You've done a great job because all weekend we've been hearing things aren't right, things need to improve. So are you happy enough with the podium? I'm sure you'd never be happy with third normally.
No, today I'm happy enough. I think it was the best we can do. Honestly, if we've been entering on the pit lane a little bit earlier, we could do maybe fighting with Danny for the second place. But finally, I think the rhythm was really good on the dry. Also on the wet, I feel quite comfortable and fast. So I'm quite happy, you know. We did a good job today. Tomorrow it's time to test and time to recover the feeling that we have the first part of the season.
You say if you'd have come in at the same time as Danny, come in at the same time as Mark, do you ever consider that? To come in that early, is that a possibility for you?
I consider that. I saw anyone was going in and Mark was behind me. If I saw Mark going in, I directly follow him because he's a specialist on that area. But anyway, for me, we did a good job and I'm really happy to be on the podium.
Maverick, now going ahead to the next race, just tell us how important tomorrow's test is here at Brno for you and for Yamaha.
It's really, really important. Tomorrow we have to work so hard. We have to work...
On what?
On the correct way, you know, to define one chassis, define the suspensions, everything, just to keep from here to until the end of the season, you know, keep on a good level. I think we can do it tomorrow, so we're going to try to do our best.
14 points. I'm sure that doesn't concern you. You're probably worried when the rain was there. It could be more.
It could be much more because in the morning my feelings were not so good, and we know we are struggling on the wet. But suddenly on the race, I feel it incredible. And, you know, when we put the dry tires, I just push. You know, when we put the slick, I just push my best. And I think we made it to the podium. It was good.
Good job, Maverick. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Everyone loves a good old Rossi battle. And we like to see Cal and Rossi having a good old battle. Plenty of that today. It was really good stuff. Should we have a look at it?
Let's have a look. Yeah, Valentino came from a little ways back, obviously. Saw Cal in the distance there, put his head down, and I think it was about three or four laps to go. I thought, man, I don't know. I don't think there's enough time because Kyle was running some good laps. And then second to last lap, Valentino made up, what, 0.4 and just shoved it up the inside right there. Pardon me. Excuse me. Coming through.
I mean, what's brilliant about him there is, you know, he came from way back at 13th or 14th. We were kind of going, what were you doing? Why didn't you come in earlier? Yet he still gets a result. He still gets decent points. 22 points now behind Marc Marquez with 8 rounds to go for him. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not over yet, you know, and he had to do that today. There was once the mistake was kind of made, he had to put his head down and he reeled off some good laps.
Danny Pedrosa is sitting 5th in the championship now on 31 points behind his teammate Marc Marquez. Good ride for him today. 2nd in the race. Let's get his thoughts.
Well, Danny, you've looked really strong all weekend. In the end, it was all about timing, wasn't it? Early on and when to come in. How difficult is that decision when you sat on the bike?
Actually, it, in these conditions, it's always difficult. But today had I think I just regret one lap because I was really, really confident to go one lap earlier in. This could make the second part of the race easier because you can see how much gap you win by just one lap. But actually, I was just confused because all day was like drying up and raining and drying up and raining. And for sure, it was clear that it was drying up so fast. But at the same time, still some drops. And you don't know, it's going to rain more. It's going to finally not rain more. So I stay or I go in. And finally, I just decide to go in. Two laps too late, but I'm happy with the pace. All weekend I was running quite strong, and this is positive. Nice qualifying, fastest lap time of the race, second place. So it's really important to be consistent and just hope to keep this momentum.
Yeah, he's certainly got momentum, no doubt about that. So here's confirmation of the race result in MotoGP. A brilliant win for Marc Marquez, way ahead over the rest of the field. Danny Pedrosa, his teammate, right on his tail. Maverick Vinales battling through to finish 3rd, Valentino Rossi in 4th. Cal, well, he qualified in 5th place. He finished the race in 5th. We'll find out in just a minute whether he's in good form or bad form about that. We never really know. And just a little eye out there for Jonas Folger. Look at that. He has had a brilliant season so far. And on such a weird old day like today, the likes of Petrucci and the Espargaro brothers, really, really good stuff from them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Folger, I mean, you know, he came in, had a ride through. Basically, his bike wasn't ready, so he had to come back in the pit. Like the boys said, if you take 28 seconds off that time, he's on the podium.
Yeah, 5th place for Cal Crutchlow. I guess we're never really sure how he's going to feel about that, so let's hear from the man himself.
Cal, 5th place after that one. I'm sure if it was a fully dry race, you'd have been well hoping to be on the podium, but that looks so tricky. First of all, to make the decision when to come in.
Yeah, obviously I made the wrong decision when to come in. My aim was to beat Danny this weekend, and I didn't. Yeah, I came in when he came in. And he did a better job on the restart of passing Petrucci with the Ducati. It was just so difficult to pass in the straight line. And once he got to the front, he was able to go. It took me 10 more laps. And once I got past Petrucci, I was able to go also, but Maverick had already passed me. So, hey, I'm pleased with the weekend. To finish in the top 5 in Brno is good. But I did want the podium, and I aimed for the podium, and I never got it. So, obviously, I'm not best pleased.
Hard when you come in off a win last year and the weather kind of suits your style and suits your personality and you don't get on the podium.
Yeah.
I like the fact he has high expectations, though, don't you?
No, you have to. You have to in this business. I think he did everything he could do today, as far as coming in when he did come in. But he rode a great race.
He did get a victory today, though, which is really good, down to all you lovely viewers at home, because at the start of the weekend we asked you which of these 4 moments were your favorite ones. Was it John McPhee's maiden win? Was it a Max Biaggi wheelie? Was it a Lorenzo Pedrosa battle? Or was it Cal Crutchlow's maiden win, the first for a British rider in 35 years, last time here in Brno? And you went for Cal, and it was pretty unanimous too, so well done. Here is the result. I think it is many percent. Can you read
percentage.
That 48%, okay. That's considerable, okay, and you just, all right, 19% for the wheelie and 25% for the
It's kind of unfair. I mean, we are BT Sport. Most of our viewers, where do they live?
Well, they live all around the world. They're people with great taste, like great sport. What are you saying?
Of course
saying?
They're going to choose Cal.
Yeah, well, maybe it was a great moment. Do you want to fight about this?
I don't know. I kind of like the Biaggi wheelie. That was fun.
I like the Biaggi wheelie too. Yeah, it was great stuff. How do you think Cal felt there to you, and how's he going to approach the rest of the season?
You know, I know they're going to test obviously tomorrow, put your head down, whatever issues they have. I talked to him this weekend and he didn't seem too happy But I think, you know, they got a top five. Move on. Let's work on the bike. Keep it going and going. It's going to be tough next weekend at A1 Ring. We know that.
I wonder how Aleix Espargaró feels. He finished eighth in that race, but had a major moment in the pit lane. It looked like it was going to get pretty messy. This is what he feels about it all.
Well, Aleix, now that was a strange old race. Frustrating to get the penalty as well, because, you know, to drop back all those places. Tell us about it.
Yeah, my start wasn't the best one, but then I start to overtake riders, and I was in the leading pack before to stop. I hate to ride with the slicks in the mixed conditions, but I realized that today was a day to take the risk. I was the second rider after Mark to stop and change the bike. And when I go back to the track, I realized that I was on the podium position. But unfortunately, our second bike wasn't the same than the first bike, because we just have one new engine. And also, we made a mistake and we fit the soft rear tire, so I felt really bad from the beginning. I couldn't be fast. I get nervous, and then I realized that I had to drop three positions. I had to stop, wait for the three riders behind me. So it was a shame finally, but top eight is obviously positive. I'm happy that Andrea has no injury, because it was a scare crash. Nothing I could do, really. I had no mirror, so it's team fault. But again, when a team or myself made a mistake, it's a team fault. So say sorry from me and Aprilia to Suzuki and Andrea, and from the future. I think it's good to recheck this rule, because it's very easy to make a mistake, and I think it's something that we have to discuss.
Yeah, I was watching all the flag-to-flags. I'm stood there on pit lane, and it looks like an accident's always going to happen. So rider's natural instinct is to jump on the bike and go. Do you think by slowing the initial speed in the pit lane down could help the situation?
For me, the best rule is the superbike one. You have time and you can be relaxed, because everybody will spend the same time in the pit lane. Because, sincerely, it's very easy to make a mistake. And then, sincerely, why, if I was in front of Andrea for 5 seconds, why I need to wait for him to cross the pit lane? If I was faster than him, why I need to wait? I understand there is the rule, but it's not fair. So it's something that we really need to think about and change it, because the important thing is that if we crash in the pit lane, we have the leg, we have everything, no problem. But if the bike hit one mechanic leg, we can destroy the leg of a mechanic or something worse. So just to wear a helmet doesn't mean that you are safe. So for me, in the next safety commission, it's something that we have to really talk about.
Sounds like a really good idea. Thanks, Aleix.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was lucky. That could have been far worse. So this is the state of the championship. Marc Márquez has stretched his lead by 14 points over Maverick Viñales, 21 points over Andrea Dovizioso, 22 over Valentino Rossi, and 31 over Dani Pedrosa. Worth reminding you, as we came into the weekend, 26 points separated the top five, 10 points separated the top four. That has stretched a bit, but when you think we've had 10 rounds of racing, it's still a very, very tight year, and it's going to be dramatic all the way through. Quick question, Colin Edwards. Do you know the rules in the pit lane?
I mean, it's been 3 years since I've raced a motorcycle and done a pit stop. I think, I don't know. I don't want to make a fool out of myself.
It's people like you, Colin Edwards, that cause problems in pit lane.
Exactly. There you go. Stick with that one.
Tom Lutie, who takes his first win of the Moto2 year. His team are on the wall. What a way to celebrate difficult conditions. Lutie wins. Jules Bigot in the background there. Crew chief watches on. Márquez takes second place. Good finish for him, and he's really happy
Very
about
good.
That. Oliveira comes home in third place. Thomas Lutie has done a great job of reeling in the runaway leader in this championship, Morbidelli. That has been that 25 points really has counted.
Yeah, really, really good results for Thomas Lutie. And what I love about that was he did exactly as he stated he wanted to do at the start of the weekend. Get a big result, put pressure on Franco Morbidelli. He's done that.
And unexpected, honestly. After what he qualified, he went out there and knew that this was his opportunity, and he took it, pounced.
Yeah, he qualified in 12th place, so, you know, the restart really suited him. He was then on 7th in the grid, and he was able to push from there. But still, from 7th, a great start.
Awesome. He went around the outside, pretty much everybody, and just see you later.
So a 17-point lead for Franco Morbidelli in the championship now. How will he be feeling now?
Nervous. Definitely a little nervous. I mean, he's a guy that's won the most races, but you know, you have a result like that. He had a crash in Jerez, and it just you just see the points slipping away, especially today. You know,
is that how a championship leader would look at it? You know, you never want to be a DNF away from losing your championship lead. Is that the case?
Well, because anything can happen, especially Moto 2. You know, and if you got a 26 point lead, that's a lot better than having a 16 point lead.
Although Franco doesn't look like a guy who's going to let it slip. I mean, it would take a lot of pressure.
No. It would take a lot of pressure. He's good. I think he's solid, to be honest. Today was just a little hiccup in the road. He was going great, you know, in the dry, so he'll be all right.
Today also marks a very important moment in the history of American motorbike racing, because finally we had another American on the starting grid on a race weekend. It was fantastic. It's Joe Roberts. He's with us now. Joe, come on in. How are you?
Good, man. How's
it going, buddy? Sandwich yourself in there a little bit. Well done today. Fantastic. You finished 10th, and an exciting day for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, very exciting. It's pretty amazing to come in and finish 10th in my debut in the Moto 2 class. I wasn't really expecting it where I was starting, but in the first free practice, we had really good pace in the wet, and I love riding in the wet. So,
and to get points as well, I think Kenny Noyes back in 2011 was the last American to score points in the intermediate class, which is incredible that you've managed to do that. There's going to be a lot of eyes on you now.
Yeah, I think so. Now I just got to put it together in the dry and be up there in the dry. That's the main thing. But
so you won a race here, though, before?
Yeah, I actually won a race in the Red Bull Rookies Cup.
Yep. And was that your first win in Red Bull Rookies?
Yeah, it was. So I actually have a really fond memory of this place. I love this place. It's so good for me. And in that race, I started last.
Yep.
And by the first lap, I was up into third, and then I won the race.
Yeah. And just so we're clear, the bike that you're on now, is it similar to the one you ride in CB?
Yeah, it's similar. It's a Calix motorcycle, but it's 2 years newer. This is the brand new bike for this year, which is something as new for me, but it's a Calix motorcycle, you know?
Yeah. And
also, you look very like the guy from High School Musical.
Oh, come on, man.
What's his name?
No, I don't.
You do. You look like him. My daughter's at home going, like, who's this? Who's this? Hey, it could only help you.
Fix my hair or something, man.
There you go. Tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Los Angeles. Born and raised there. And, I grew up riding around there, some tracks in the desert, and then made my way to road racing when I was about 8 or so, and been doing it ever since.
And who did you look up to when you were a kid?
And your dad's English, right?
Yeah, my parents are actually both British.
Oh,
yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Little known fact.
Yeah, little known fact. That's probably why I'm so good in the wet, huh?
There you go. So did you look up to this man?
Yeah, of course. I looked up to him, you know. In the Red Bull Rookies Cup, we hung out, and he helped me out a lot. And he actually came and checked out my data this weekend and told me how crap I was on getting the gas.
I was trying to let you down easy.
That's not a swear word in America, by the way. Okay.
Is it in England?
I don't think it is. It's a little baby one. It's not like some of the usual words he comes out with. So you're doing okay here. So run us through what your plan is and what your objectives are and what your commitment is here in Moto 2.
Well, I want to be here permanently. That's kind of the main thing, you know.
I think off to a good start so far.
Yeah, it's a good start. I think right now I qualified 31st, which isn't, you know, I was 2.1 off pole, and it's a, you know, working with some new guys, a new bike, and you know, I'm getting to feel like this bike is a little bit more like my own, and I think in Austria I can show some more potential in the dry, and that's the main thing, you know. It's just I wanted to come here and really just try and learn as much as possible, you know.
And now you have a five race commitment with these guys.
Yeah.
So here, Austria, and what are the other ones?
I'll be doing the next European rounds all the way up until the flyaways.
Okay. Got
yeah.
It.
Well done, Joe. You met him here first from LA. British parents, Joe Roberts, 10th finish today in the Moto 2 race. You're going to be with us for a while. It's really good to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Well done, Joe.
Awesome.
Okay, let's have a look at the championship table at the end of round 10. And Franco Morbidelli still has the lead, but it is only 17 points ahead of Thomas Luthi. Alex Marquez, a really good day for him. He crashed out in Germany last time out. We didn't know whether he was going to race this weekend. He did. Did very nicely indeed. So he's there, you know, to pounce, put a bit of pressure on Franco as well. He's gonna feel all of that, Colin, isn't he? I mean, it's just needs to bunch up a little bit.
Yeah, Marquez did great this weekend. You know, we know he crashed, had a little injury, went out there today and did great. Got on the he couldn't catch Luthi in the second race, but he was right there, made no mistakes.
Our Moto3 race got us going earlier in the day.
Joan, congratulations. Yet again, you've done it. Sixth victory of the season. But how much were you thinking during that race of the last couple of laps and what you needed to do? Because you had the fastest lap right at the end.
Well, yes, after the bad, during the weekend, I didn't feel so much confident with the bike because with the rain, then dry rain, it's really difficult to manage. But since the first day, I was thinking, because I was really pushing hard, because I want to dedicate this victory to Angel, and to dedicate with victories is amazing. So I want to dedicate to them. And yes, about the race, really, really difficult to manage because it will be dry at the end, will be not really difficult. But well, finish like this in these difficult conditions means a lot for me because today it's day to take points, and to take points with a victory is amazing.
Yeah, he's beginning to look like a world champion. Certainly when it came to the nitty-gritty business end of this race, a great scrap with Romano Fenati. They swapped a few times. Romano desperate to beat him. He needs to close down that lead. He was thinking that as they went through the final few corners of this wonderful circuit in Brno. But it was Joan Mir who bagged another win. Win number 6 of the season. Yes, it is you, Joan. Absolutely brilliant. Taps the bike, but really it's that young fella and his mature head that did the job. And there he is, top of the pile, 190 points, a considerable lead over Romano Fenati, Aaron Canet there in third. And how about young John McPhee? A good day for him. He had to work his way up from 19th place, and he is fourth in the championship, still on 93 points. Hudgie's joined us. We're just going to wrap up what's been a really interesting round 10 of the 2017 Championship. Good wins across the board, lots to talk about. But as we came into the weekend, focusing so much on Ducati and the changes they made, in particular to Jorge Lorenzo's bike. He finished 15th today. Actually, before they went in, he had a lovely start. He was doing quite well. Overall, how do you think he looked? How have the changes suited him?
Well, I think it's not made a massive difference, but he looked good at the start of the race. He took the lead and was... He had over a second lead, but then
Did you see the pit stop?
Well, it all went wrong in the pits, but I didn't see the pit stop. And what happened? I don't know exactly what happened.
It was a debacle.
Were they not ready for him then?
They weren't ready.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
No, they're actually...
Here you go, it's right here. So he comes in.
So they're working on the bike he's going to jump on.
Yeah. The problem is, you can see, it's just a calamity, isn't it? I've never seen anything like this. What's going on? Imagine this. This is like...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so he's lost... The problem is also he's lost his rhythm. He's got frustrated. Yeah. It's a knock-on effect. So he's probably lost about 10 seconds in the pit stop.
He lost 8 places, to put it in race terms, right, which is absolutely massive. And I'm sure the team manager, Davide Tardozze, was absolutely fuming. Let's hear from him now. He's with Gav.
We'll talk about Andrea Dovizioso in a second, but I want to talk about Jorge Lorenzo, first of all, leading in the wet conditions. Then it took a long time in the pit change. What happened?
Yeah, finally he took a while to modify the bike from wet to dry, and Jorge comes immediately in, and the bike was finally not properly ready. He lost just a few seconds, but it was our fault.
In the wet, he looked good though, but I suppose he was always fighting back after that.
Yeah, in the wet he was doing a fantastic race. Obviously, nobody was thinking that the racetrack dry up so quick. Then he surprised everybody, and that was a problem for many of us.
What's the feeling in the Dovizioso side of the garage as well? Sixth place today. I'm sure you'd have expected a lot more in a fully dry race.
Yeah, sure. Yes, in full dry and full wet, we think that with both riders we was able to fight for the podium. But in the end, Andrea comes in probably one lap later, and he decided to stay out and for one lap more. Then this compromised a bit the race.
Thanks very much, Davide.
Thank you.
As a team manager, do you say, like, you know, lads, there are weird conditions, we made a few mistakes, they're not, you know, normal race situations, let's just park that, let's go back to the plan, everything's going to be okay?
Yes and no. That has to be, what happened has to be dissected. There's hundreds of millions of pounds being spent on that project over the last 5 years, and you can't afford to lose 10 seconds in it in a pit stop. You know, somebody's made a mistake there, and that needs to be sorted out. They will forget about it, but they need to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they'll just have to work in those stops.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they said they weren't ready. Marquez came in, what, two or three laps before that? So what do you think those guys were doing? They were ready. It has to be that way.
It's interesting, though. You were saying before in that you reckon maybe this new fairing for Lorenzo is maybe part psychological. Maybe it's
absolutely.
Just making...
Absolutely.
You agree with that? Yeah,
no, totally. That's how it's the sport. Is 80% what's going on up here, and if that makes him feel a little bit better and gives him just that little bit of stability, all of a sudden it's what he needs. And we know what Lorenzo's like. He's a head guy. He's up and down. Wherever his lap time depends on his mental state. So yeah, I'm all for that.
And as much as Davi wants to be on that podium today, don't you think it was quite fitting, considering the week that's in it and the sad loss of Angel Nieto, that there were three Spaniards, an all-Spanish podium? Can you think of a better way to remember?
No, not at all.
You know, Spain's favourite sporting
star. Not at all, and it was like it was meant to be. The reason all these riders are here because of him and everything he's done behind the scenes. And look at that. I mean, it was...
Podium was a paying tribute. It was perfect. It was awesome.
Yeah, it sounds weird. It was a fantastic minute silence. It's hard that I'm saying that, but the respect is so high.
Well, it's all heartfelt when they speak about him. I think that's what was really interesting.
Really genuine.
Really young guys as well, you know?
Yeah. But everybody knows. Like we all know about Barry Sheen. All the Brits know about Barry Sheen. You, Kenny Roberts.
Yeah, but
they know about Angel Nieto.
And there's nothing bad to say about him. He just was a fantastic guy.
Okay, that's it from here at Brno. We'll be back in just 1 week's time from the Red Bull Ring in Austria. We'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.